This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
The man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Cutting through the noise and fog of this world and pointing us to the eternal truth of God's Word. Good morning, Mike LeMay and Crash Connell, and for David Fiorazzo, welcome to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a great time of fellowship yesterday. And we're going to get right to our show because it's a very important topic. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beauty of life and the gift of another day. And thank you, Lord, for looking down upon us when we were hopeless and helpless lost sinners, and sending your Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to bear your wrath against sin upon himself and take the wrath that we so deserved upon himself. And it's our faith in who he is and what he accomplished through your grace that we are able to be righteous in your eyes, spared eternal damnation, and live a life free of the shackles of sin and free to be light and salt to a world that so desperately needs you. May we glorify your name and your word this hour, Lord, as we look at what your word has to say about the days ahead. We love you, Lord. We thank you and give you all glory. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. Our topic today, paving the way for Antichrist. Everywhere we look these days, we see a world that's confused, chaotic, and increasingly defying God. Satan is masterfully manipulating and using worldly systems, government, education, and media to indoctrinate people into the belief that if we don't unite behind secular human beliefs, that all will be lost. And of course, increasingly, anyone who professes their faith in Jesus Christ as the answer, well, we're being marginalized, bullied, and intimidated into silence. Gary Kaw of Hope for the World Ministry has been writing about the move to globalism and a one-world religion for more than 30 years, and he joins us this morning to talk about how global powers are uniting economically, socially, and yes, religiously, to usher in that one-world government. Gary Kaw, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you for taking the time, my friend. Gary, last weekend I just got my latest edition of your Hope for the World newsletter, the spring 2019 edition, packed with some great information and commentary. And the headline is, "We are in deep trouble." Now, what do you see as evidence of this deep spiritual trouble America is in, Gary?
Well, it's on several fronts. There's, of course, the moral question, where we're headed from a morality standpoint. And in my article, I highlighted, you know, abortion, over 60 million babies now, and now they're even going after babies once they're born, creating new laws, state laws on that front. You've got widespread acceptance of homosexuality and same-sex marriage. You've got pornography out of control over the internet, mind-altering drugs. You've got marijuana now legalized in many states. You've got people driving under the influence. In Colorado, it's a real mess, for example, now. You had Mothers Against Drunk Drivers who, you know, they have their hands full, and now they have to deal with people whacked out on drugs and who are so legally. I mean, it's ridiculous, over-the-top ridiculous. So there's that whole side of things. And then politically, we just basically witnessed a coup attempt against the President of the United States over these last 2 years. And now the tables are beginning to turn, and if the investigations into those who perpetrated this effort go public here in the next couple of months, what I'm really wondering is, how far is the deep state willing to go? You know, if you've got potentially even former CIA directors who are going to have their feet held to the fire and who could be facing jail time for what they've propagated, a huge deception on the public to try to get rid of this president, then you have to wonder what might the deep state players who are still in try to precipitate to get their buddies off the hook. And only God knows the answer to that question. I don't, but I believe these next few months especially are going to be very dangerous because just about anything could happen. But there's extreme wickedness in high places in this country, and they've been trying to manipulate us politically and in other ways to weaken the United States in order to prepare it, condition it, and to try to get the people of this country into their so-called New World Order, this global system of government that they are striving for. And so that's where we're at right now, and that's why in the same article I wrote under the last subcaption, it was called Our Only Hope. And I basically said, unless there is a widespread, genuine repentance in this country, which I believe would prompt God to intervene and push things back, and that certainly can happen. But unless that happens, things could unfold quickly in the months and years ahead, and we need to be prepared. So I'm just hoping that America turns back to God, and that there's repentance beginning within the church, that people get serious about their faith and draw close to Christ, and we'll see what happens.
Amen to that, brother. And Gary, we have to be clear about what's going on here with this supposed Russian collusion. And I always say on air that liberals will always do what they accuse others of doing. We had a presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, high-ranking FBI officials, and former CIA directors collude using lies to undermine a duly elected president. And I'm hopeful, as you are, that as we cut through this mess and find out really what went on, you know, it could theoretically deal a deep blow to that deep state government, could it not?
It could. I mean, it very well could. And what an answer to prayer that would be, you know. And so I've been spending a lot of time really praying for the president and the immediate people around him, because he has some really good advisors, some of them solid Christians, and so we just need to pray that God protects them and that he guides their every step, because so much weight is on every move they're making right now, because the deep state would like to keep targeting them and provide headlines for, you know, the mass media every night, that still over 70% of Americans are watching that nonsense, you know, and buying into a lot of this. But I'm hoping that enough people who are kind of centrist and in the middle, that they would come around and realize, you know what, if this kind of evil was being perpetrated against the president, a duly elected president, I don't want to be part of that, regardless of where I stand on some of the other issues. And if we can just get a 5 or 10% shift, it would be huge. You know, if the president has been able to get done by God's grace what he has already up to this point by appointing some conservative federal judges and you know, other things that he's done that we've talked about in the past, it would be amazing. We could really witness a major turnaround, politically speaking, in this country if the deep state is diminished in power. And that's what I'm hoping for. But of course, that still leaves the whole spiritual matter, because at the root of our problems as a nation is overall the lack of discernment, Christians not being as committed as they ought to be, churches not preaching the truth the way they should. If they're preaching any gospel message at all, it's watered down. So that's really the biggest problem we're facing in this nation. But politically, we've been brought right to the brink, I'm hoping and praying that things fall the right way and that we have some more time.
Now, we're speaking with Gary Kaw on Stand Up for the Truth. Gary, your article talks about the plan. The plan is for an economic collapse that would throw us into chaos. What would happen next if that happens?
Well, I know for a fact that the big global players are pushing for a new world reserve currency. This has been afoot for a number of years now, and last September 26th, I believe it was, there was a huge meeting to move things in that direction. But in order to introduce this new global currency, which right now they're calling it the SDR, Special Drawing Rights, they really need to deal with the U.S., because right now our economy is hot, the dollar is strong, almost too strong in a sense because it makes our exports so expensive. But everything right now is pretty solid in the United States, and to replace the U.S. dollar as the world's chief reserve currency, something has to happen. And so if you watch the news carefully, the liberal media, back this fall, it appeared they did everything they could to collapse the economy. I mean, any bit of good news that would come out on the economy, they turn it and twist it and try to turn it into a negative. You know, and they were beating the war drums with China, trade war. And no matter what they did, the stock market would sink for a few days, but then there would be such good news come out about the strength of the economy, it would override it, and they couldn't hold it down, and the stock market would go back up. And so there's been this up and down, this tug of war, and no matter what they've tried to do, and some of them have even come out and said, you know, I hope the economy collapses if that's what it takes to get Trump out of power. Even some of the late night comedians have joked about that, although, you know, not necessarily joking. And so the ultra liberals, they would love to see an economic collapse because right now that's Trump's strength in this country. And he would lose a lot of political points if the economy dropped. That's the, you know, that's really been keeping the president strong and even growing in the public mindset. So their question is, how in the world can we go about collapsing this economy? It seems like we're trying to do everything we can to work against it, and yet it's staying strong. And you know, it's not wrong for us to pray into that. We need to pray that the Lord keeps our U.S. economy strong, because if it goes down, it would have political consequences and really play into the narrative of the globalists and help them out with their agenda. But as long as our economy stays strong, it's going to be very hard for them to bring in this new global system that they have planned.
Gary, you were talking a little earlier about the spiritual state of our nation, and I think a good barometer of that is the spiritual state of the Christian church in America. If you listen to a lot of sermons online, you would think that spiritually we're just doing great with God, but I'm not so sure that's the case.
Well, I don't know how anybody can say that, quite honestly. I mean, if you read the Bible and then you look at what is being taught in most of America's churches, a lot of them have gone interfaith. They're embracing wickedness. They're even putting people into leadership positions that are openly committing vile sin. And of course, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we're saved by the grace of God, and we understand that. But when people are deliberately sinning and they're proud of it, and good is being called evil and evil good, we're in a bad state. Our son-in-law just spoke at a so-called Christian university in the Midwest. It was founded on Christian principles, but they've gone really wayward. But amazing things still can happen. And some of the kids from his former youth group, where he was a youth pastor, going to that college now, and they're seeing what's going on, and they've managed to get on the committee that determined who the chapel speakers are, and that opened the door for our son-in-law to go there and share. And he didn't compromise. You know, he spoke the truth, but he said while he was there, he said about 75% of everything he heard from the professors and the leaders on campus was aimed at casting doubt on the Word of God. And the other quarter, the other 25%, it was kind of like, well, and some people say, you know, and that's how they presented the truth. And well, and some people say. So this is supposedly a Christian college that parents send their kids to, and they come out as unbelievers, a lot of them, even some as atheists. And so a big part of the problem, and I've mentioned this on past programs, I get so frustrated with the so-called Christian colleges out there, and almost every one of them, I mean, there's a few exceptions maybe, but almost every one of them is trending toward liberalism. None of them are becoming more conservative and getting back to the basics of the Bible. They're all going in the other direction. It's just a matter of degree. How far have they gone off the deep end? And so I'd go so far as to say that the Christian colleges in the United States may be the biggest problem in the country. You know, when you go to a secular university your kids can kind of be prepped of what to expect. They know they're going into a dark place, and they kind of have their guard up. Well, when you send your kid to a Christian school, they drink in what they're taught by their professors, and after a year or two, they're questioning everything. Even the college I went to years ago has over the years been teaching in their school theology some very questionable things, including interfaith concepts. When I was going there, way back when, the head of the biology department was an atheist, openly, and he was talking about it in his classroom. Last I heard, there was not one creationist teaching in that biology department. This is a well-known Christian school. And then there were professors. One was a Hindu, one was a Mormon. You know, I was so disillusioned when I went there. I thought I was going to a Christian college where most of the kids there would be firmly entrenched in the Word of God and would have a close walk with the Lord. And then once I realized what so many of the professors were like, I thought, you know, what are the kids going to be like? And sure enough, there's still some solid people out there, even in some of these liberal Christian universities. They're trying to hold the line. So I'm not saying good things can't happen at these schools, but wow, many of them are so far gone and off the deep end. It'd probably be better if they were totally shut down, truth be told. So enough said on that. I could go on and on and give you one example after another.
Well, Gary, and in summary, you would think that in this world that is lining up with Satan and his puppet Antichrist, that Christian universities and schools of thought would be a safe haven, if you will, for young people, but they're not anymore. I mean, it's getting to be a real crapshoot when you decide to send your son or daughter to a Christian university, because as you said, even some of the longtime ones like Fuller and even Wheaton are bringing doubt into God's word. So, you know, it used to be, hey, if you want to be safe, send your son or daughter to a Christian university. Not so much anymore. Our guest, Gary Kaw of Hope for the World. When we come back, they'll move toward earth worship.
If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
In Greek mythology, there was a goddess called Gaia. She was the personification of the earth and one of their deities, and is considered the ancestral mother of all life. Our guest this morning, Gary Kaw of Hope for the World Ministry. Gary, Mike Spaulding did a very in-depth and interesting article about this perpetuation of Gaia worship. How do we tie that in with this radical environmental movement?
Well, if you go back to the beginning of Earth Day, the people who got it started were actually very religious. They were very earth-centered, practicing earth-centered religion. You have most of your Wiccan community, witchcraft, that ties into it, into earth-centered worship. And it's a form of goddess worship, this whole Mother Earth idea. And, you know, it goes back even further in our generation earlier on. You know, at some point along the way, they began to use the term Mother Nature, anything but God. You know, it's Mother Nature, Mother Earth, goddess worship. The fertility cults from the ancient mystery religions have sprung back to life in our day and age. And this is it's a big deal. In the New Age movement, I mean, that's front and center. And so if you think this is just a few crazy people running around, you're mistaken. I'd say a good 20 to 30% of the nation is involved in this type of thinking now. And in the article you're talking about that we had in our most recent issue of our research news journal, Hope for the World Update, is written by a Calvary Chapel pastor from Lima, Ohio. And he quoted his mayor giving a speech where they refer to God as a she, and just kind of snuck it in there. And so trying to be politically correct and appeal to every liberal element out there and pull together all the votes that they can, you've got mayors of small and as well as big cities getting heavily involved in the hyper-environmental agenda and beginning to get into this goddess worship. I mean, this sounds so far out there that 30 years ago, again, if we'd be having this conversation, people would have been laughing they wouldn't have been taking it seriously. And that's what was the hardest part about writing my book when I did. It came out 28 years ago. And if people would have listened, we probably wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. But, you know, it's like people wait until things get really bad. Then they begin to wake up almost, you know, when it's too late. And a lot of the stuff that sounds craziest, that's how they're able to get traction with it. It sounds so far out there that nobody wants to pay attention and take it seriously. And meanwhile, they keep marching along and accomplishing their agenda. That's how it was with Hitler. If you read his book, Mein Kampf, you know, very few people took it seriously. But he carried out what he said in that book and went even beyond it. And so we need to pay attention to these people, especially when they're funded with tens of millions of dollars, and you've got a lot of the top globalist foundations behind their one world efforts. So people say on the surface, you know, we don't want religion in our schools, and down with Christianity and so on and so forth. But then they turn right around and introduce earth-centered religion and witchcraft through the back door. Here on our local news channel, NBC, just a couple of days ago, I wasn't able to see the segment because I had to leave, but I saw the headline and the teaser. They were going to do a segment and on how kindergarten and I think first graders were practicing yoga at a local elementary school, public school, and how wonderful it was and how it was working with the students and all that. So it's okay to introduce Hinduist concepts and even get the support of the media, but Christianity is being forced out. You know, it is a mess. It's sad.
Gary Kaa, Hope for the World, our guest. Speaking of environmentalism, Gary, we have a pope in Rome that seems to be completely on board with this radical environmental agenda.
He is. In fact, back in 2015, Pope Francis addressed the UN General Assembly, and that was shortly before the member states of the United Nations ended up adopting Agenda 2030. And the Sustainable Development Goals. So this was a lead-in. They actually used the Pope to help set the stage for their agenda. Well, then fast forward to 2019. The Pope, this Pope, was in the Vatican on March 8th, just a few weeks ago, where he greeted participants taking part in a two-day international conference entitled Religions and the Sustainable Development Goals. And then there was a subtitle to the conference, Listening to the Cry of the Earth and of the Poor. It was very earth-centered, this conference was. The Pope said, quote, the 2030 Agenda and the Sustainable Development Goals were a great step forward for global dialogue, marking a vitally new and universal solidarity. And that's one of the code phrases now, universal solidarity, new and universal solidarity, noting the importance of the religious dimension in this gathering. Pope Francis said that, quote, those of us who are religious need to open up the treasures of our best traditions in order to engage in a true and respectful dialogue on how to build the future of our planet. During his address, the Pope made particular mention of indigenous peoples, saying that, quote, in a strongly secularized world, such peoples remind us all of the sacredness of our earth. Their voices and their concerns should be at the center of the implementation of the 2030 Agenda and at the heart of the search for new paths for a sustainable future. I will also be discussing this with my brother bishops at the Synod for the Pan-Amazon region at the end of October this year, end quote. So, you know, this is straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. He's openly earth-centered. He puts a lot of stake in the earth-centered Native American religions, for example, which are very pantheistic. They're very much in line with Hinduism and Buddhism and Eastern mysticism. And he's all in on this, and he's trying to bring Christianity into it and meld the whole thing together. Finally, concluding his address, he told those present that, and again I quote, 3.5 years since the adoption of the Sustainable Development Goals, we must be even more acutely aware of the importance of accelerating and adapting our actions and responding adequately to both the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor, end quote. By the way, the conference was jointly organized by the Vatican Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development and also the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, which is basically interfaithism. So there you go. You know, the globalists have understood from early on that there cannot be a world government system without the Vatican on board. At the very least, the Vatican would have to endorse their agenda, if not be totally supportive of it. And this Pope has gone beyond endorsing. He's completely supportive of it. He's helping to make things happen. Because without the Roman Catholic Church on board, without over a billion people in the world involved in Catholicism on board of this, how in the world can they bring about a world government? So again, they needed the leader of the Catholic Church to be on their side and to be pushing this agenda. They now have that in place. And that's why they're pushing so hard to bring this about while this Pope is in power. They've been waiting for this kind of Pope for a long time. He's in now. And they thought for sure within the next 3 or 4 years they could pull this off. You know, Hillary was going to become the president. They've got Pope Francis in place. Now all the pieces around the world have been coming together. And then along came Donald Trump. Unexpectedly. And so, I mean, they literally hate this guy because he's a nationalist, and also they hate Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel because he's a nationalist. And so you've got pretty much the whole world that's gone global that's ready to move into this world government except for a few small countries and island nations and the United States and Israel. And so that's why this battle has become so nasty. You've got 85-90% of the media involved in this. They've been serving as stooges for the one world government movement for years. It's just they're more blatant about it now. And the one good thing about all of this going public is that at least we know what we're dealing with now. You know, 5-10 years ago, I was spending a lot of my time trying to convince people that this move is for real. Well, now it's out in the open. They can't stand Trump so bad. They weren't able to bite their tongues and stay silent anymore. You know, they had to come out against him, and so now we're seeing where they're all coming from and how big the problem is. So I don't even watch the liberal news media anymore except occasionally just to see what they're saying because it's complete garbage. It really is. I mean, we need to do our own research and be aware of programs like yours, Mike, and a few other good ones that are still out there, and our publications. And I mean, we just have to be smart. We can't buy into everything that the media is trying to sell us.
You're hearing Gary Kaw, Hope for the World Ministries, Stand Up for the Truth. Gary, younger and ignorant people, they're speaking out more about socialism here in America, not realizing that we will become slaves to a handful of rich elite and how it is a system that must reject God. Why is this obvious to others, but not just to some, but not others? I just don't understand that. What do you think that is?
Well, the education system, since the early 1900s, began to come under influence of globalists. It first started with the General Education Board, which was heavily funded by the Rockefeller Foundations. Eventually, that gave way to the National Education Association, which also has been heavily funded by some of the major One World Foundations. And then they began controlling the textbooks. And by the 50s already, and especially the early 60s and beyond, public education more and more came under the control of a very radical socialist element. And Dewey, in fact, he actually taught some of the Rockefeller brothers and then received funding from them. He slipped away to the Soviet Union for a time to help fine-tune their education system over there, believe it or not. And the same guy over here, our modern education system is basically built around his principles. So it's been many years in the making, but they were smart about it. They knew if they dropped it all at once into the textbooks that people would rebel and go the other way. So it's been a gradual intentional conditioning. And in the last 20 years or so, it's gotten to the point where most students who've gone all the way through the public schools, by the time they come out, the only way they're going to come back to normal is through a complete deprogramming. And that doesn't happen in one day because they've been taught this stuff for years and years. So if you spend 7 hours a day in a school, and if you take out some of the fun part and lunch and you know the other stuff, you've got maybe 4.5 hours or so of actual teaching, and they've worked socialistic principles into story problems and math, into, of course, history and social studies, into English and the books that they force you to read. And so probably at least 1 to 2 hours a day is just pure propaganda and socialism in a lot of the public schools, I'd say most of them. And so you add that up, you're looking at probably 5 to 10 to 15 hours a week that our kids are getting of this. And the average Christian family maybe has 1 hour a week of meaningful, deep conversation on religious issues and how they affect politics and economics and our lives as a whole. And so we're no match. And so the first thing parents need to do is get their kids out of the public schools, put them into solid Christian schools, which not all of them are solid, so you have to do your homework. And if you can't do that, then you need to homeschool them. And so that requires some sacrifice. And most people aren't willing to do that. And therein lies the problem. And so we're losing the battle. A lot of kids, I'd say two-thirds of the kids that we knew growing up, who grew up in fairly solid Christian families, are now not walking with the Lord. And that's really sad. If you're going to have kids, you need to make the commitment to train them up in a godly way. And if you're not going to do that, then don't have them. I know that's a controversial statement, but I'd rather not have any kids than have them grow up and have them serving Satan and be a heartache to their parents and grandparents. We really need to take raising our children seriously and be committed to doing so.
Indeed. You know, Gary, back to this Pope for a little bit. You said earlier that you're glad these things are out in the light. And a lot of my Catholic friends are starting to look at this Pope and what's going on. And two things I want you to discuss here. First of all, the Roman Catholic Catechism itself in segment 841 says that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. This is a hard teaching my Catholic friends need to hear. So they're saying Christians and Muslims worship the same God, and of course we know that that is not true. But also you look at what happened, so talking about this Pope meeting with this imam lately, but then last year, this Pope, in my opinion, sold out Roman Catholicism to Communist China by entering into a secret agreement very similar to what a previous Pope did with Adolf Hitler, where basically he is allowing the Chinese Communist government veto power over which bishops are appointed in that nation.
You're right. You know, there is a lot of persecution going on in China. Some of it I know firsthand about, and having just been updated recently, it's bad. I mean, those people are going through incredible hardships. One pastor I'm aware of has been in jail 8 different times. It's amazing that they even still let him out, and I think the only reason they do is because they follow you very carefully afterwards. And they've got perhaps the tightest surveillance system in the world now. It's amazing. And so, when they release pastors back out into the public, they watch their every move, and wherever those pastors go, whoever they talk to, they keep track of that, and it allows them to bring in the whole network of Christians that are out there. And I think that's one reason why they keep letting some of these pastors in and out. Others, though, have been in long-term because they've caused so much trouble for the government. And so they're facing all-out persecution and jail time. And so for this Pope to sell out in this way, shame on him. In my opinion, this current Pope is nothing short of a false prophet. I'm not necessarily saying he's the false prophet, although who knows, it could be. But he is a false prophet. He's a wicked man. And Catholics need to wake up and realize that. He's trying to drag us into this world government system that's going to end up taking away all of our freedoms if it comes into being. And then he's going to, he already has agreed with the leaders of the other religions. And if you need a little more hardcore evidence, how about this? When he traveled to the Middle East back in February, He met with some top Muslim leaders, and I can go there if you want me to, Mike. But
feel free.
What I wanted to say right now is right after meeting with some of these Islamic leaders, Francis delivered a video address to the World Government Summit in Dubai, which convened from February 10th to the 12th. That was the actual title of the summit, the World Government Summit. It's basically a planning session for how to bring us into a world government. And in his speech, he stressed, this is a quote, he stressed the need to, quote, grow together alongside one another, willing to take on everyone's problems in the global village, which, of course, is a code word they've been using, one of them, to describe the coming world government. He asked the question, what kind of world do we want to build together? And then it was all about, you know, sustainable development, solidarity, all the interconnections, things that you know, I quoted him on earlier from the conference, the environmental conference that he spoke at. So he's literally speaking, being a featured speaker at world government summits around the world. I mean, if Catholics don't wake up now, they never will. I am thankful that some of the news anchors on Fox News, like Sean Hannity, who are Catholic, they're taking note of this and seeing what this Pope is doing. And they're really conflicted right now because on the one hand, they want to come out and put the Pope in his place and say exactly what they think of him. But on the other hand, because they're Catholic, they're holding back. And so I would urge you folks, hey, I as a Protestant, I'm not holding back on what various Protestant leaders are doing. And you've got people in the United Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, Episcopalian leaders, people in the Lutheran Church in the United States that have gone interfaith, that are pushing this world government agenda. And so if I as a Protestant am willing to come out and hold some of our leaders' feet to the fire and warn people about going to certain Christian colleges, even those who claim to be evangelical in nature because of the crud that they're teaching our kids, then Catholics, I hope you have the courage to come front and center and start speaking out against your current Pope and what he is presenting, because it is very deceptive, and he's going to take a lot of people down with him. A lot of naive Christians, especially Catholics who are following this Pope, need to wake up while there's time to do so.
And Gary, I think they are. I think a combination of the sex scandal hitting the Roman Catholic Church worldwide and the incredulous statements and partnerships of this Pope, the people I know that are still Roman Catholics are starting to wake up. Gary Kaw, Hope for the World Ministries, our guest on Stand Up for the Truth today. When we come back, is China a peek at the future of Christianity in America?
If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
Our final segment with our good friend Gary Kaw of Hope for the World Ministries. We're going to tell you how you connect with Gary, get a copy of his newsletter, and please prayerfully consider supporting he and his lovely wife as they do a lot of God's work in some very difficult circumstances. Gary, I look at communist China right now, and two things that I see happening there I think are going to happen in this nation very quick. First is their social credit scoring system, where if you even speak out against the government, you get a black mark if you want to try to get a work or get a home mortgage. And secondly is this dual state of Christianity in China, where you've got state-sponsored churches where Christians can gather, but they must worship the state. And then you've got an underground church that's going through massive, massive persecution. Is it far-fetched to see that projected on America in the next couple of years?
Well, I hope it won't be in the next couple of years, but it sure could if things go the way that the globalists would like to see it go. Socialism is determined. It's a very evil, corrupt system at its core. I would even go so far as saying it really wasn't founded by atheists, because even Karl Marx at one time was quoted as saying that his real goal was to avenge himself against he who rules above. It's satanic, ultimately, and it's just a power grab. It's a huge deception by Satan. There's not one example of true socialism in the world where there isn't persecution of Christians. You go down to Venezuela. I've got to share this. This is almost mind-boggling. 2 years ago, next month, I was in Guatemala City speaking at a pastor's conference. and there were probably about 20 or so pastors there from over 10 Latin American countries, Central and South America. And during one of my presentations, I noticed a gentleman toward the back, looked like he was in his 70s, but very fit. He looked very distinguished. He just had that look like he was somebody important. And he was hanging on every word I was saying. And well, afterwards, through the translator, he came up to me and asked if he could have a meal with me or dessert, because he wanted to talk to me. So I said, okay. And so in the meantime, I wondered who this man was, so I asked some of the other pastors, and then I got more information directly from him. This guy was from Venezuela, and he was the military commander who at one point in time actually trained Hugo Chavez before, of course, you know, Chavez became who he ended up being. And along the way, this gentleman became a Christian and now was an all-out, sold-out believer for the Lord. But he knew everything you can imagine about Hugo Chavez and now Maduro as the more recent dictator. Now, what I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't have believed it myself had it not been for the fact that I got it straight from this gentleman and that the other pastors vouched for him, saying he really is who he says he is. Otherwise, you know, why should I have believed him? He said that Chavez believed that he was taking on the mantle, the spiritual mantle of one of the conquistadors, one of the bloody conquerors. I think it might have been Cortez, but don't quote me on that. It was one of the famous conquerors. And Chavez had a human skeleton hanging in a nook, like a little like closet indent area in his office. A human skeleton, full length, and what he would do is he would go to that skeleton from time to time and do a type of meditation and believe that it would empower him, that he would receive somehow powers from this skeleton that represented this ancient conquistador. And if that isn't enough, he and Castro, who, by the way, visited him regularly, would sometimes actually bathe in blood. And I don't remember the gentleman saying if it was human blood or animal blood, but they thought this would empower them. So I was fascinated with this because here you think these guys are atheists, you know, socialists. I mean, Castro and Chavez, and yet they're very superstitious, and they believe that bathing in blood and invoking the powers of this skeleton would, you know, somehow empower them and make them more powerful as dictators. And again, this came from the man who literally trained Hugo Chavez, who was in a position to know. And as this man was speaking, I was praying silently, Lord, show me, give me discernment. Is he speaking the truth or is he not? And I really believe that he was. And again, if people think that socialism is somehow a good thing, it is utterly demonic at its core, and the people running it worldwide are demonically influenced. And you wonder why Venezuela is the mess that it's in right now. It was once one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Maduro, by the way, the same gentleman shared with me, he believed that he had taken on the mantle of Chavez and his spiritual figure, so to speak, this conquistador, and he had Iranian troops in Venezuela that were killing the Venezuelan people, something that the media was not reporting. Apparently, Maduro believed that his own soldiers might not be willing to kill their own people when the rioting began getting out of hand a couple of years ago. So he actually brought in Iranian troops and also troops from one other country that was in Africa, and I wish I'd remember the name of the country, but I can't remember. And so he has brought in foreign troops to do the dirty work, including troops from Iran. And he also has been getting funding from Iran that has been used to help organize these groups, these waves of illegal immigrants that are flooding our U.S. border. So if you think all of this is not affecting us, it is. And one reason I believe why President Trump is trying to cut off the funding of Iran by really tightening the screws is because I'm sure he's aware that they're working with Venezuela to try to help cause this border crisis we're in. So So a lot there to unpack, I know, but I had to tell you that story because it just shows again how demonic socialism is at its core.
Yeah, all things at its root are spiritual. Gary, I've got about 5 minutes left. How important was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's re-election in Israel?
Very important. I mean, Netanyahu is not a perfect man, just like none of us are perfect. But you have to understand the media over there and some of the others in the Knesset, especially those pushing globalization, and there are some of those, they want to get Netanyahu out of the way. And so anything that they can nitpick about, just like over here the media has been doing with Donald Trump, it's almost a mirror image over there. And I think one reason why Trump and Netanyahu relate so well to each other is because they're experiencing a lot of the same things. And so as long as Netanyahu is in there, it appears he's going to do what he can to defend the national sovereignty of Israel. And I pray that President Trump continues to work with him and that they don't, make some type of dumb agreement over there that's going to backfire on Israel as a nation. I know there's a lot of international pressure for this two-state solution and Israel giving up more land for peace, but it's never worked in the past. It's not going to work this time. And if they go back to the 1967 border, Israel would only be, I think, 8 miles wide in one spot. There's no way with today's technology that some of the surrounding nations and Hezbollah has that they'd be able to hold that. And so I hope that Israel remains fully intact and that President Trump stands behind them. As long as he does, I personally believe that God will bless this president for taking the stand that he's already taken if he continues to stand firm with Israel and Prime Minister Netanyahu. And that's one thing I believe all of us, all the Christians listening to this program, need to be praying that happens, that President Trump stands firm and that he listens to his closest, wisest Christian advisors on the subject. And if so, you know, God is completely capable of giving us all some more time to speak the truth and to help lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But the globalists have a huge advantage in controlling so much of the media. And so it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a spiritual battle all the way down, you know, down to the wire. So I thank you for this opportunity. I really do. Thank you, Mike and Crash, for having me on. And I do want to give out our website because mm-hmm. we just posted our lead article from our publication so people can read it for themselves. Again, it's called We're in Deep Trouble is the name of the article, and you can click on our homepage to get into it. And our website is simply garykaah.org. So just my name, GARYKAH.org.
And I tell you, when I get your quarterly newsletter in the mail, as I did Saturday, I open it immediately. It is packed with information. I just encourage our listening audience to sign up for Gary's newsletter. Pray for he and Audrey. They are doing a tremendous amount of work around the world. And Gary was really one of the outliers, one of the people early on 30 years ago who I believe God revealed some of this stuff to. And you go back and read his books, and I would encourage you, En Route to One World Government, En Route to One World Religion, go back and read them. They're almost 30 years old, but boy, you see everything unfolding the way I believe the Lord revealed it to Gary. So please pray for him. Please check out his newsletter, and please consider financially supporting him. God bless you, brother. I look forward to talking to you in May.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Again, garykaah.org, Kaah spelled K-A-H. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show and tell you about tomorrow.
We're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. Now, here's Mike LeMay.
David Fiorazzo rejoins me tomorrow. The next 3 days, we are having our twice-a-year share-a-thon here on Q90FM and Stand Up for the Truth. For 8.5 years, we've been at this microphone looking at the news of the world and helping you see it through the lens of God's Word. And it's very important over these next 3 days. We need your help to continue doing what we're doing as we wrap up our 9th year here on Stand Up for the Truth. If this show has been a blessing to you an encouragement to you, and it has challenged you to get back more into God's Word to understand what's going on these days, there's a very simple way you can support us, and let me give it to you right now. Go to Q90FM.com. Q90FM.com, and what's going to come up is our Donate Today page, and there's two options for you. You can make a donation today by credit or debit, or you can make a faith pledge and pay anytime, fulfill that pledge anytime over the next 6 months. We are raising funds the next 3 days to stay on the air for the rest of 2019, broadcasting the truth of God's Word. And I've heard from many of you that this is an unusual show compared to what you can hear on many Christian radio stations these days. If it's been a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to you, could you help us over these next 3 days to hit our financial goal, stay on the air for the rest of 2019, and keep on doing what God has us doing? So again, go to Q90FM.com. You'll have two options. You can pay now, or you can make a faith pledge and fulfill it anytime by the end of 2019, and we will send you a statement to remind you of that. So we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your words of encouragement, and we appreciate you stepping up financially to keep us on the air here at Q90FM and Stand Up for the Truth. So thank you so much. And again, please take a minute right now to pray about going to Q90FM.com and supporting us for the next 6 months. So we'll be at our microphones as usual the next 3 days with Stand Up for the Truth, but it is a share-a-thon edition where we are going to ask you to please prayerfully support this ministry. For Crash Connell and David Fiorazzo, I'm Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth. Be bold, be strong, and always unashamed of the gospel, because the Lord your God is always with you.